Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I'd only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited to premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
When it comes to towing, seeing is believing. That's why Chevy Truck's advanced camera technology offers up to 8 available cameras for 14 unique views, so you can focus on the view that really matters. Chevrolet, together let's drive. Learn more about Chevy Trucks at Chevy.com. Safety or driver assistance features are no substitute for the driver's responsibility to operate the vehicle in a safe manner. Read the vehicle owner's manual for important feature limitations and information.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm here.
Live from Kansas City, it's the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, Kansas City! Rookie Xavier Worthy!
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, Jets running back Breece Hall, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr., plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, that's correct. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show. Kickoff special live on the Roku channel from Kansas City at the Total Wireless Studio. We're back here for one last day in the home of the 2-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. And then we're going to make our way back to Los Angeles after today's show to take in the rest of week number 1 that began last night here in Arrowhead. And we'll continue on tonight in the first ever National Football League regular season game in the football-loving country of Brazil between the Eagles and the Packers. We are off and running. Kurt Warner, who called last night's game for Westwood One Radio, will be joining us also on this program coming up in about 20 minutes' time. We already turned the page to the way week one's going to end. Monday night football between the Jets and the San Francisco 49ers. Breece Hall, who may have been the first overall pick in your fantasy football draft, he's going to be joining us here on this program. And then in hour number 3, one of the most popular athletes here in Kansas City, Missouri, potentially the most popular athlete here in Kansas City, Missouri, not named Mahomes, Bobby Witt Jr. of the Kansas City Royals will be here in person to send us off to the airport. There's also you at 844-204-RICH, number of the dial. If you're watching us live on the Roku Sports Channel, we say hello to you today. Same thing by listening on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, and more. We say hello to our podcast listeners, all 3 hours available through the Cumulus Podcast Network. And we say hello and thank you to the now over 800,000 subscribers to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Good to see my colleagues here for our third and final day here in Kansas City. Chris Brockman, hey, good Rich. To see you today, sir.
Great to see you, man. What a game last night.
I know.
Still buzzing.
I mean, you guys were all there. And good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
I mean, it's good to be seen. I was worried. It was raining. I was like, are they going to cancel the game?
Yeah, it was pouring.
They weren't going to cancel the game.
A lot of lightning.
It was a heck of a night last night. And I guess also happy Halloween to you, Chris, because you're dressed as Cam Newton today.
So this is a Jalen Polk jersey.
Show him the back.
It says Newton on the back.
But nobody has to know that.
He's wearing a Patriots jersey here in Kansas City, folks, because I guess you're already turning the page to the rest of the...
It's game day. We have a huge week one matchup. Bengals on upset alert. Get ready.
Yeah, because Jamar Chase is practicing and doesn't have a contract.
And T. Higgins is not practicing.
He's not practicing today.
Uh-oh.
We're going to keep an eye on the injury news wire, if you will, throughout this this program. But let's start today's show with what we saw last night here in Kansas City in Arrowhead Stadium last night. And it was just a fresh reminder of not only how much we miss football, but how absolutely remarkable and incredible and how much better every single game, every single year the National Football League is getting. It truly is unbelievable how much of a narrative generating machine the NFL is. The best reality show there is. Game one of 272 last night began again here with the Kansas City Chiefs celebrating another banner, four championships for them, two in a row. They're going for a three-peat. It's the first ever opener of a National Football League season featuring not one but two MVP quarterbacks multiple times over. The freshly minted two-time MVP in Lamar Jackson coming out with Arrowhead in an absolute ear-splitting full throat and marching down the field to score a touchdown to put the Ravens up 7-0. And then Mahomes comes on out and walks down the field and scores a touchdown and navigates a touchdown drive. Two touchdowns to open the game, open the regular season. And then we saw a field goal fest all the way until the fourth quarter when the Kansas City Chiefs had an opportunity to put the game away and could not, wound up punting the ball back to the Baltimore Ravens, who marched all the way down the field, and the game comes down to the last play with the Ravens down 7, last play on the clock, and sure enough, the MVP, reigning MVP of this sport in Lamar Jackson, just gains enough attention and spends enough time in the pocket for Isaiah Likely, one of the most unlikely leaders in receiving yards coming into this game last night. He does lead the Ravens in receiving yards last night. He grabs the ball out of the air, comes down for a touchdown. I'm sitting there watching this game play out and watching this play out and seeing John Harbaugh hold up the number two on the sideline. They're going for two. Wow. Everybody was running out for a two-point conversion. It was not Justin Tucker coming out on the field, only to have the buzzer buzz on the hip of the head ref, Sean Hockley, to go under the hood to check things out. And sure enough, if only Isaiah Likely either had a smaller foot or a different shoe, in the same way that Kevin Durant's three-point shot was just a two in the playoffs a couple years ago, ending the season for the Brooklyn Nets that year, it ended the night for the Baltimore Ravens. Sure enough, that is a toe on the end line. And that's the way the season opener ended last night here in Arrowhead. Chiefs 27, Ravens 20. Lamar Jackson accounting for 395 total yards, a buck 22 on the ground. And it was that much of a difference between a potential go-ahead, game-winning two-point conversion, or the Chiefs walking out with a one-point win. Instead, it's a seven-point win. And Mahomes cracking a little wise after the game about what happened at the end.
It looked good from my angle on the sideline, but then the first view you saw, you could see the cleat. So that's a great football team, and I'm sure we'll see him again at some point in the playoffs. So now we're happy with the win now, and he's got to wear white cleats next time. That's my advice for him.
Oh, man.
By the way, if he's wearing white cleats,
maybe
that's not overturned.
Why
would
he give him the secret, though? I wouldn't have shared that.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson can't handle the truth. He did his best again last night to try and win this football game in a manner that I didn't think the Ravens would have an opportunity to do. I was kind of surprised that the Chiefs gave the ball back in this game. And it really is amazing how it even got to the two-minute warning, because they were throwing the ball before the two-minute warning and having no timeouts left for the Ravens. They were throwing it. Ball gets tipped up in the air, and Mahomes out leaps two Ravens defenders to catch the ball to prevent a wild game-turning interception, and B, by receiving his own tipped pass, that allowed the clock to tick all the way down to the two-minute warning, after which the Ravens came up with a huge defensive play. That kid Simpson that Rod Woodson was talking about, saying that he would fill in for the now-departed Patrick Queen admirably, he came up with a huge tip ball to get the ball back to Lamar Jackson to go march down the field, and only to have it end that way, and Lamar still not believing it.
You said it, James. I thought it was a touchdown. I thought it was a touchdown. I still think it's a touchdown. Man, he was just open. And I've seen, I don't want to get it wrong, but it looked like 32 and 20 was like turning to like pursue him when he realized where the ball was going. So I threw it so he can like make a play on it, just so I don't throw it like a line drive to hit him in the face mask and they turn around and pick the ball. So I gave him the ball so he can jump a little bit. But I thought he did a great job, acrobatic catch, and I believe it was 2 feet in. You know, stand on that.
I mean, that is just not a second foot in. It's just that simple. And I know it's tough for the Ravens to lose this way. But it was not a clean game by either team by any stretch of the imagination. A ton of, as John Harbaugh called it after the game, communication penalties. The new emphasis on where offensive linemen are lining up in relation to their center. The Ravens got popped for that quite a bit last night, and Harbaugh challenged the officiating crews in the future to call it the same way consistently throughout the rest of the season.
I mean, or have your guys line up properly.
Well, I mean, the Chiefs did the same thing.
But we knew this was going to happen all preseason. It was obviously a point of emphasis. Like, after it happened 3 or 4 times on the opening drive, you think they would have fixed that?
Well, as I told Dan Patrick today, potentially you just have to leave it up to your own communication within your own building to use your own peripheral vision, that if you can see, if you're lining up, say, as the left guard and can see the opposite butt cheek of any of your teammates on the line, you're offsides. You know, like if you're able to see the other half moon of your teammate, then you should know that you're offsides. Yeah. Isaiah Likely after the game pointed out how the Ravens came awful close and should be fine moving forward.
I say this is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
When I hear,
why would he say that?
Well, here's when I hear that, these are the two things I hear. One, I hear a very brash but confident young man who I believe does appear to be coming into his own. I think coming out of last night, the most jittery fan base there is currently in America is anybody who drafted Mark Andrews in their fantasy league. Mm-hmm. Now that's just fantasy football of conversation. Course. Because this kid, Isaiah Likely, is really talented. He's really good and he gets open really well. And clearly Lamar Jackson has a nice connection with him. And the way that the final drive played out, they were utilizing Isaiah Likely in the same route pretty much to get down the field and then get out of bounds right away. And a lot of those yards came in that fashion. But he also came up with a remarkable touchdown catch and run, okay, as well. So I see a guy feeling his oats, and what is he going to say? He's going to say, basically, we're the best in the NFL because you speak things into existence, certainly in this generation. I totally get it and I understand it. But the way I also see it is it's just the latest example of another player in the National Football League saying something that is a bulletin board material for a Chiefs team that is no doubt in search of all of that to keep fresh and sharp for the rest of the season. And two, just another example in the NFL of, I believe, the Chiefs bringing about in their competition a sense of inevitability about them that will not age well, those words, by the end of the season.
Doesn't seem like it.
Because the Chiefs, here are my takeaways from the kickoff. I've got three of them for the Kansas City Chiefs. One, we'll start from the very tippy top. This team absolutely can three-peat. 100% this team can three-peat. Their defense was buzzing. I understand Lamar had 395 total yards, 122 on the ground. They really couldn't get much going down the field. They simply could not. There was a big play by Bateman on the final drive that was pretty huge. Zay Flowers was trying to get open down the field. There was a pass interference early on in the game that did lead to Derrick Henry scoring.
Lamar's rushing yards, those were scrambles. Those were busted plays. Those weren't designed runs.
I believe this is something the Chiefs felt they could survive. Just kind of pen him in and make sure he doesn't bust anything for 30, 40, 50 yards down the field when he's running. The Chiefs' defense looked really good last night. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, there is a Hall of Famer on this team few people talk about. His name's Chris Jones.
Yeah.
That guy's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He just affects the game from that position. And with Aaron Donald now gone, he's the best at the position, hands down, in the NFL.
Interior lineman, hands down.
There's nobody like 95 on the Chiefs.
Hands down.
He is a pro. He's a first ballot pro football.
You saw it on the sack fumble. He got in there right away and wrecked that whole play and caused Lamar to lose the ball.
He is a top-notch game wrecker and one of the funniest pieces of video that I think everyone should seek out. For some reason, on the final two plays of the game, Justice Hill, the small running back,
was trying to block him.
He was chipping him. And he actually did a pretty credible job.
It was kind of decent, actually.
You know, not really the way you draw it up. Like, hey, let's neutralize 95 with one of our smaller running backs. Yeah. But 95, man, that guy is as good as it gets. And so this is where they can absolutely three-peat. There's a Hall of Famer that nobody's talking about on this team, first ballot, and his name is Chris Jones. And here's another one. This shouldn't surprise anybody. But the Kansas City Chiefs really know what to do with the fastest man in the history that's got to come.
Just
did that surprise you? Did that surprise you that Xavier Worthy's first touch as a professional football player in a regular season game is an end around 21 yarder that he just scoots right into the end zone with Creed Humphrey leading the way, blocking multiple people
and
multiple
levels?
By
the way, he like that
dude wearing number one, and then you know he runs one in, and then he catches one for a touchdown later on in the game. Multiple touchdowns, one on the ground, one in the air from Xavier Worthy, which is another reason why I'm saying that the Chiefs can absolutely three-peat. They didn't have Hollywood Brown last night. Yeah. They did not have Hollywood Brown last night. Now, they did have Juju Smith-Schuster, who had one knocked out of his hands.
Yeah.
That would have set him up inside the three.
Yep.
But, again, and Ravens fans and Cardinals fans can sit here and say, well, Hollywood Brown is only on the Chiefs because he didn't do it here. He didn't do it with us. Hollywood Brown's playmaking ability in this offense, I think, can be much more of a difference maker for him professionally. This just in. That's Mahomes. That's Kelsey. That's Reed dialing up. That's Xavier Worthy. That's Isaiah Pacheco, who looked like a bona fide stud number one running back in this league, catching it out of the backfield, although he did have a drop ball early on in the game that really did hurt them in that drive, but running one in. He just has an ability to also energize his team. Last night, Kelsey didn't do very much, and they still won. And Xavier Worthy had this to say after the game about his first career touchdown.
It was crazy. We ran that in the preseason. I fumbled. So, I mean, sure, it was kind of bad, but just being able to, for them to have that trust in me, and I told Coach Nagy, I think this player is going to score, and it happened, so it was just an amazing moment, just my first touch being a touchdown in the field.
When did you tell him that?
We talked about, we had a walkthrough this morning. I told him this morning in the walkthrough.
Oh, so he can call shot, too.
How's that for a hit rate? Three touches, right. Two touchdowns. Is that good?
That's all he does is score touchdowns, Xavier Jeez. Worthy.
He goes so practice. I fumbled.
And again, I know this is just one game. I don't think this is an overreaction. I'm not saying they're going to three-peat, even though I did predict it. And I'm not saying what I'm saying because I did predict they were going to three-peat. But you can't come out of the game last night and say, this team, you can get them here, you can get them there, that they're vulnerable here, and that you know, they're not going to three-peat, that they've there are certain, like, there's an eye test that you can tell whether a team has defrayed from the previous Super Bowl season to the next. As a matter of fact, they look stronger.
Dude, their first drive, I thought, just was the difference in the two teams. The Ravens took 7-8 minutes to score on their drive. The Chiefs answered in 2.5 minutes. Tom Pelissero said it during the preseason. Fast. They might be the fastest team in the NFL. And we were like, what? What about Miami? No. Chiefs are faster. We saw it last night. Rashee Rice is a serious problem for defenses. And then you throw in what Worthy can. I know that was a busted coverage on his touchdown, but dude, he's untouched when he gets the ball.
Yeah. Rashee Rice, I'm glad you mentioned, because I had yet to. Clearly stepping up from last year.
Yeah.
And Pacheco, I think, stepping up from last
looks
year.
Elevated.
Gray, Watson, other guys like that.
Yeah.
So they can absolutely three-peat. That's the main takeaway from last night's game here in Arrowhead for the Chiefs. As for the Ravens, you know, you pointed it out, Chris, how you thought that the adjustment from last year's AFC Championship game when there were only six runs by a running back, a head-scratcher of ultimate playoff head-scratchers that will live for a long time, you know, threatening the why did the Seahawks not run it with Marshawn Lynch again? Why did Malcolm Butler only play one snap in special teams in a Super Bowl where Nick Foles was throwing for 900 yards? And then last year in the AFC Championship game, why did the Ravens only run it with running backs just six times in a game that was definitely still there for the taking, and a running attack would have actually maybe calmed things down? And you said Derrick Henry may have six runs in the first drive, and I'm like, that's a lot. He had five.
I was so close.
He had five, but only eight the rest of the way.
Like, why?
And
the fourth down play where they went for it at midfield, they run that weird route to Flowers. Like, you have Derek. This is why you signed him.
And in this penultimate drive of the game last night, in which they wound up only settling for three, leading to the Chiefs' last drive where they wound up punting it back for the final throws of the game from the Ravens last night, they did go for it on fourth down. They did hand it to Derrick Henry. And that said, okay, you try to maybe keep it, it's obvious that 22 is going to get a ball, one would think, on a short gain. So maybe that's why they went in a different direction with that throw that looked bad, that is from snap. That only eight carries for Derrick. And you could see sometimes they were in that pistol again. We talked about it with Rod Woodson because he likes to have a head of steam running straight ahead, right? And so you don't get a head of steam when he's just standing next to the quarterback in shotgun and getting the ball handed to him. And the thing that I didn't see last night too often was no fullback in front of him.
Yeah, only a handful of plays with the fullback.
Where Lamar's under center, fullback behind him, and then there's an eye dotted by Derrick Henry. We saw pistol. We saw under center with no fullback. We saw, you know, a shotgun formation where Henry was to either the right or left of Lamar. I think they're hunting and pecking a little bit here as to what is the best scenario. And I think they'll wind up landing on that while they're figuring out what the offensive line is going to look like as a congealed unit with full communication going down and where they're lining up. Yeah. I do believe the two tight end set with Andrews and Likely is their best way to go forward. You know, I'm wondering if Bateman can be a deep threat, a solid number two. And I know how I feel about that word solid.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about a down the field threat here. But I'll tell you this though, defensively, I'm not particularly worried about them at all. And
they tightened up after that opening drive.
On the field before the game, I saw Lamar again, the whole concept of he'd lost 30 pounds. I saw him. He looked great. He looked
fast,
dude,
out there.
He looked 100% yoked and healthy. Like, he looked good. Like a healthy dude for who's lost 30 pounds. He looked sculpted, and he looked really good. And then we saw last night, I just don't think 122 yards on the ground out of him in a game where you're trailing, I don't know if that's the win. And that's why I think John Harbaugh is just going to go for two. Just let's get from the two-yard line. Let's take our chances. And you know,
man, I'm dying to know what the play call would have been.
Well, I just think wait till he does it again. They're going to do that.
This is the team and the Lions, you know, they just kind of screw it. Let's go for two. I'm just dying what the play would have been based on the script last night.
So that's my takeaway from the Ravens, the you know. That's my takeaway on the Ravens. I do believe the Bengals are going to win this division. That's what I predicted. The Ravens absolutely can. There's no question about it.
Well, we'll see how Cincinnati looks against KC in a couple weeks.
That's their next game. Their next game. So we're going to talk about with Kurt Warner when he joins us in hour number two of this show. Maybe we'll chat a little football with Bobby Witt Jr.
Nice.
The Royals superstar. He is exactly that. One of the most popular athletes in this town. He'll be joining us in studio hour number three. There's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a What's More Likely Friday. I do have our usual Friday staple outside of that during the football season, which is my top five games that are top five intriguing matchups for the rest of the week, for the rest of week one. I've got that for you. And as I mentioned, there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, Breece Hall of the New York Jets, the final game of week number one after we've just chopped up the first game of week one of the 2024 season. Breece Hall, when we come back. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Breece Hall about to join us. Our director, Don Bowie, the one who's making sure this jib camera is swooping and looking. The mise-en-scene, Don, is fantastic.
Swooping.
And, you know, we're all just trying to get better every day, one day at a time here on the Rich Eisen Show, right? Well, last night, Don took this video of the flyover.
Oh, dude.
And this is Scorsese stuff, Don. Roll it.
B2 bomber flying.
That was unreal. Watch this. Well, hold on, man. Look at this.
Into the fireworks.
Fireworks. Look at that sky, too. Beautiful.
After the crazy rainstorm.
Well, and the forecast calls for crazy here. Hold on a second.
Hold on a second. Just wait.
The crazy
banners.
Just wait.
All right, we've been waiting for a long time.
Hoskins and TJ. Jay Felly and Chris, the rest of the gang. Okay, very good.
We had been waiting for a long time.
We've been waiting 7 months.
I mean, Don, you kept the stealth and the frame, and then over the fireworks.
Oh, it was great.
And then
And then you guys ruined it.
But why do you have to say it like we ruined it?
No, you did ruin it. The rest of it was beautiful.
By the way, wasn't just us, several members of the crew. We had a whole row of just us. It was great.
13, 14, 19.
I mean, first of all, the patriotic moment, then the panoramic moment.
Yeah, with the G's.
The pageantry of the moment.
Yeah, that was me.
And returning you barking at the camera.
Well, I was.
And then Brockman.
Football!
Notice you didn't wear the Patriot jersey last night,
well,
pal.
He's not a dumb man.
No, I'm not an idiot. Although
he's
there were several non-Ravens Chiefs jerseys in the crowd last night.
There weren't several. I didn't see a lot.
I saw at least eight.
Yeah, that's not a lot when there's 100,000 people in the house.
There should be zero.
There should be zero.
No,
thank you.
Where would you dig? You know what I say.
Look at me in Philly. Come on.
Well done, gents.
Come on.
Well done. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We are one game into 272 regular season games in the National Football League season, and one game into week number one that finishes up on Monday Night Football on Westwood One Radio on many of these stations. And joining us right now from the New York Jets, getting set to take on the San Francisco 49ers to wrap up the first week of the 2024 season, one of the best in the business, he is Breece Hall of the New York Jets. How are you, Breece?
I'm doing good, you know, just preparing for Monday every day and just taking it one day at a time.
Fantastic. Good to know about that. What is going through your mind entering this season about your own fortunes for 2024? Breece?
Personally for myself, you know, just having a lot of the hype and expectations coming into the season, just, you know, I feel like it's my put up or shut up year. You know, everybody, you know, says I'm one of the best in the league, so I think it's just my year to show. And then as a team, you know, we added a lot of new pieces, so we have very high expectations for ourselves. And with Aaron coming back, you know, he's been upholding that standard, so it's made our team uphold the standard of us, you know, just taking nothing but excellence.
When you say put up or shut up here, what do you mean, Breece? This is, you know, this is year three. One of the years you had a blown out knee. Why are you saying put up or shut up for yourself here?
Just because, you know, I just don't feel like I've done anything in the league yet, and I'm just coming in and being, you know, you see all the running back rankings and all that type of stuff, you know. So just for me, I just want to, you know, just go out and show everybody that I am one of the best in the league.
Well, I mean, last year in a very challenging year for your offense, 1,585 yards from scrimmage. Do you got a number in your mind that you think you can hit this year?
Yeah, but I won't let y'all know that now. Y'all just know by the end of the season.
No, we need to know. So it's north of 1,585, right? Obviously.
I mean, you could say that, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not going to say you're going to have less, right? I mean, at least you could admit that, right? You're hoping for more. And so,
yeah, definitely more.
Well, how different does the O-line look in front of you right now?
It's night and day. Even, you know, our pieces we had last year have gotten better. I'm with the vets that we brought in, T. Smith, you got Morgan Moses, John Simpson. I'm just bringing in great guys like that that have helped our young guys, and you know they've upheld the standard as well. So it's been cool to see how our whole O-line has grown, and it's been cool to see how much more like confidence I have running behind them this year.
Now, obviously, you know you're going mostly against your own teammates so far, but when you're getting the ball stuck in your belly by Rodgers, do you notice the lanes are different? Do you notice the angles are different? And has that been noticeable to you, Breece?
Yeah, it's definitely been noticeable, just not going against, you know, 8-9-man boxes all the time. But for me and him, you know, and Garrett, we're starting to come to that, you know, just realization that, you know, teams are going to have to pick their poison with us. And we got Mike Williams, Tyler Conklin, Jeremy Rucker, Braylon Allen, just a lot of great pieces on the team. And, you know, we're just really excited to see, you know, how teams are going to play us and where we're going to be able to take advantage of defenses at.
And what is your relationship like with Rodgers? Walk me through that, Breece.
Yeah, it's very good. He was my locker mate last year, so me and him were always talking. And then, you know, we talked a lot about just the rehab process once he got hurt, and then just hanging out with him, inviting us to his birthday parties and little stuff like that. You know, just gaining a great relationship with him even after he got hurt. he made an effort to, you know, still talk to the young guys and, you know, still keep coaching us up and leading us. So it was just cool to see how invested he was into this team, into our young core.
Now, obviously, I need to, you know, out of all of that, the thing that just hit me that I have to follow up on is his birthday party. What's it like going to an Aaron Rodgers birthday party, Brees?
It's, you know, you never know what you're going to get. So I didn't know what to expect, but going to his birthday party, just seeing all the people that I saw there in the environment and the atmosphere, you know, everybody was really cool, really friendly. It was a good time. So, you know, I'm looking forward to his birthday party this year as well.
Okay. So what do you bring a gift? Is that, or is it a no gift?
Yeah, I did, but it was kind of like a running back gift. So I'm not, I'm going to keep it a secret.
What do you mean? You know, what does that mean? A running back gift? What does that mean?
I got to keep it a secret. I can't tell.
Okay. So, but there wasn't a no gifts policy. He's like, you know, whatever, just come and hang out. Like, that's the way it went, Brees?
I don't think, like, as far as our teammates, I don't think we cared if there was a policy. We were going to bring a gift.
Of course.
No matter what, just because he's our guy.
He's your guy. He's Aaron Rodgers. So how does he look to you? And I know you only had the comparison of preseason and four snaps last year. How different does it look to you right now, Brees?
It's been cool to see. You can just tell he's really driven right now. You know, he's been playing with that chip on his shoulder, and I feel like he wants to go back out there and show everybody that he's that guy. So, you know, me and Garrett, you know, we have that same mentality. Every week we step out and we think we're the best player out there. So knowing that Aaron has that same mentality as well is cool to, you know, for us to have that common goal to want to be great and, you know, want to win every week.
Do you have a competition going with Garrett? The second time you've mentioned him in a sentence here, where obviously, you know, you guys feel that you're the best player on the field. I'm trying to see if there's a friendly competition happening here, Brees.
Yeah, there's definitely a friendly competition, and it's cool because whenever I make a play, you know, I tell him, all right, what you going to do now? Whenever he makes a play, he's like, all right, Brees, it's your turn. What you going to do now? So it's great, you know, to be playing with a guy like that, you know, makes me raise my level of play based off the, you know, competition with each other, but also how much we admire each other's game. You know, he's a very great athlete, and he's one of the best, you know, athletes I've ever seen. You know, not many people can move like him on the field, so it's cool to watch him play. He's honestly one of my favorite football players.
Brees Hall here from the New York Jets in advance of taking on the San Francisco 49ers in Week 1 Monday Night Football. So you're going to see your old college teammate and roommate, right, in Brock Purdy? Is that a true fact?
Yeah. Yeah.
You roomed together? You were roomies, Brees?
Yeah, for like two and a half years.
Okay. So what type of roommate was he?
Me and him were both pretty like clean freaks. You know, we were pretty much around each other all day at the facility during the season. So when we got home, like we would talk, but we would mostly be on our own time, just chilling in our rooms and stuff. But being with him, he's a big, like, he loves video games. He plays piano. He likes, like soap operas and musicals and stuff like that. So he's definitely more interesting than what you would think.
Musicals? Is that what you're saying? He would be, like, just Broadway musicals? He's listening to soundtracks and stuff like that?
Yeah. It's like, his favorite movie is Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia? I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah.
See, he likes his ABBA. He likes, you know, like what sort of Broadway musicals? Was he listening to Hamilton when you were roommates?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. For me, I didn't really, whenever I heard any of that stuff, I kind of tuned it out. So I couldn't tell you exactly, but just talking to him, I know, you know.
Are you surprised as to what he's become in the NFL, Brees?
I'm surprised how fast it happened, but as far as like his success, just knowing the type of person he is, the type of leader he is, I wouldn't say I'm surprised. You know, being around a guy like him every day and seeing, you know, the way he lives his life, how he is about within his faith in God and his relationship with God, and just seeing how he works every day, his success now it doesn't surprise me. I just feel like it's a blessing from God, and on top of him having that great work ethic and being a great person.
So, any conversations at all pregame you're going to have, or what's your philosophy before a game, a big game on Monday Night Football, where the Jets can put down a marker on the rest of the National Football League by beating the defending NFC champs from last year, Brees?
No, I wouldn't say there's going to be any conversation. Me and him are really competitive with each other, and you know, I don't think we'll talk till after the game, and maybe not after the game, just depending on, you know, how everything goes. Even when we were in college, you know, if one of us beat each other in the video game, we wouldn't talk to each other for the rest of the day. So, like, you know, when it comes to us going against each other, it's like really intense, real serious.
All right, so Breece Hall, Monday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers, front seven. What are you seeing on film? What are your thoughts going in against this defense that, you know, it's funny. You might have been the first running back taken in a lot of leagues in which McCaffrey wasn't, or mm-hmm. or the defense, the Jets and the Niners defenses in fantasy football have been one of the first ones off the board. What are your two cents on the team you're going against here, Breece?
Yeah, we stole one of their guys in Javon Kinlaw, so it was great to, you know, have him. Been great to have him over here. He's a beast. But seeing their defense, you know, they're very disciplined, very sound. They play very fast and physical, and they got some great players. You know, it's going to be cool to, you know, match up with Fred Warner and go against him for a full game and just see how that is. I feel like it's going to, you know, show me where I'm at. It's going to be cool to measure myself up to them. So I think it's definitely going to be a game of just like just really like a lot of physicality.
And then just last one for you here, Breece. You said this week that you think there's nothing you can't do on the field. What do you mean by that?
You know, I feel like for me, with my talent, you know, my receiving ability, just when I get the ball in my hands, I'm a big play waiting to happen. So I feel like, you know, the more I get the ball, you know, the better position we're going to be in. The more Aaron has the ball, the better position we're going to be in. The more Garrett touches the ball, the better position we're going to be in to win. So with us three, I think we could do anything. With our great O-line we have, our great tight ends, you know, it's going to be fun.
And what's your last message? I feel like I'm asking this of you every single time you and I talk here on the show, Breece Hall. Your message to Jets fans, your message to fans who last year felt as optimistic as they do right now, only to have last season play out. What's your message to them as it appears the Jets, a better Jets team, takes the field this year than the one from last, Breece?
Just to make sure they keep the TV on Monday night.
Fantastic. Breece, you are the man. Really, greatly appreciate this. Thanks for the time. Best of luck this fall, and look for more of my calls. I'll see you in London in a few weeks.
I got you. I appreciate you, Rich. Thank you.
Right back at you. That's Breece Hall, one of the best in the National Football League, getting set to take on the 49ers here on the Rich Eisen Show. I guess I should also say you should leave your radio on, too.
Right. Bet, yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to play on Westwood One. Leave your TV on.
You might get a phone call about
Harlan and Kurt Warner. It's great.
Harlan was great yesterday.
Dude.
Oh, God. I mean,
it was a
you know what we're going to do? We're going to end up playing the video I took of him driving.
You should, because it's tremendous.
I was showing everybody.
He said he was going to drive us. I'll tell you the backstory of it all.
We were in the Uber when you posted that. I was like, guys, you got to watch this.
Oh, yeah. So funny.
Oh, yeah. We'll hit that next. But also next, Ja'Marr Chase has spoken. About his contractual demands and what the reports are about it.
Oh, goodness.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show live from Kansas City in our final day here in the Super Bowl town of the Chiefs. 3, 2. Hey, everybody. There's a great new podcast that just launched. I want to tell you about it. It's called Throwbacks, and I know the guys who are doing it. It's hosted by former Entourage star Jerry Ferrara and former USC quarterback Matt Leinart, the 2004 Heisman Trophy winner, who then went on to play in the National Football League for the Arizona Cardinals. So Matt has a ton of experience to tell you about, playing for an iconic college football team, winning that trophy, and then, of course, all the behind-the-scenes stories from his time in college and professional football. While Jerry is one of the leads of an iconic television series, he's got you covered on what it was like being a young guy starring in a show that everyone was talking about, and he's also the voice of the fans. So Matt brings that former player expertise, and Jerry brings that voice of the maniacal sports fan. Enjoy hanging out with your new favorite pair of throwbacks every Thursday. Follow and subscribe to Throwbacks on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. Well, if you watched yesterday's program, guess what? You knew it was coming, that I mentioned to Kevin Harlan when he was here that he was driving us to the game at Westwood One, and it happened.
All right, we're pulling up to Arrowhead Stadium, and who
who's driving. Who's driving us in? Kevin Harlan. Look at you, brother.
9-3.
9-3. Look at that.
He's just you got to do it all when you're doing radio. You got to do everything.
That's disrespectful.
Everything.
Here we are. Do you know who's driving this car, everybody? Here we go. And this is how you start year 40 of your NFL broadcasting career?
As your chaperone, driver, man about whatever I need to do for you.
Here you go. Appreciate it.
Some things haven't changed. I bet you drove in your first broadcast 40 years ago, and he's doing the same thing now.
I love it.
But how is that possible for Kevin Harlan, the great Kevin Harlan, that he doesn't have a stretch limo, a little bit of, you know, Chardonnay in the back?
Because he's a man of the people. And plus, we don't need no stinking parking pass. You just say to this very nice Arrowhead individual, say, just look at, you'll use your face you as your parking pass.
Do you know who I am?
My voice is my pass.
Here we go. Just, yeah, go up here. Just keep driving through, Kevin. See, floor it. Go. Floor it.
Floor it.
Here we go.
Good. How you doing? Thank you so much.
Okay. Here we go. Welcome to Arrowhead, Kevin Harlan. Fantastic. Westwood One's coverage of the National Football League from the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. This is how we do it. Well done, Kevin. Well done.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, all is one on the Roku Sports Channel feed. We just showed to our radio audience the video I took of Kevin Harlan driving the Westwood One crew to work yesterday.
Fantastic.
As I told you guys when he was here yesterday, he was going to do it.
Guaranteed it.
It's funny, though. Aaron Cummings, the producer of the broadcast last night, who was wearing the green shirt in the video, he was going to drive. Kevin Harlan was driving from his home to the hotel to meet us and parked his own car in the hotel parking garage. And Aaron was going to drive the Westwood One rental to the game. And I'm like, no. No. As a matter of fact, Kevin said he would drive, and I think he should drive. Not just because he said he would drive, but he knows the back roads. Like, let's get Kevin to drive. Yeah. And by the way, I'm sitting shotgun.
Well, you called it.
You called it.
I called it here. When you call shotgun on the Rich Eisen show,
you gotta respect that call.
It counts here.
Carries over.
Listen, my kids will call shotgun a day in advance on their brother or sister, depending on who's doing it.
Normally, I have a rule. You have to be able to see the vehicle.
Right.
Is that it?
That's traditionally how it goes, but you called it in front of the Roku television cameras.
That's correct.
And the microphones
And many of these Westwood One stations.
That counts.
That counts. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, basically, bottom line, I called shotgun, which put Kurt all the way in the back.
Yeesh.
And sure enough, Kevin Harlan knew every in and out. He even pointed out the house, apparently, that Walt Disney was born and raised in on the way. It's here in Kansas City.
Whoa. Okay.
He pointed out, like, this place that that you could stop off. He said, if we were really, you know, if we really wanted to go for it, we would stop off right here and put on the old feed bag. And it was someplace, the name escapes me right now, that it was, I don't think there was a green thing in the place. It was every meat known to man the marquee.
I like that.
And then we pulled right in the back road, like I had no idea where we were at all. And then all of a sudden Arrowhead appeared.
We kind of
Kevin Harlan,
same thing.
Everybody.
We went down that side street. Our driver's brakes weren't working.
And he just couldn't have been more delightful. It just, and it was his 40th season kicked off last night of broadcasting NFL games. And just working with him and Kurt Warner together and being there physically last night in Arrowhead for a big game, a big night. His call at the end of the game is classic Kevin Harlan. It's just great, man.
He just seems so happy driving that.
He's just chuckling.
He was giggling the whole time.
He's just giggling.
He knew how absurd it was. You were filming and narrating.
And at first I was like, how disrespectful. Curtis Eugene Warner has a gold jacket. He has a bust. He's got a ring and you put him in the back. And then you cut back.
Because I called shotgun.
But he's fully stretched out. Like you put him in the back. So I was like, you know what? It's actually better for Kurt. He's got his legs stretched.
Yes,
he's in the back. He's a tall drink of water. He's got to stretch out.
I will always put baby in a corner, no matter what ring or jacket he has, sir. When I've called shotgun, how dare you?
How dare you?
The NFL season's finally upon us. Do not miss a moment of the action with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. When you bundle it together, you get the most live NFL games all in one place. But that is not all. Folks, the four games at once, the four NFL games at once, the signature multi-view feature, it's a game changer for NFL and fantasy football football fans alike. Sign up today at youtube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games. So, we all know the Ravens had the best record in the American Football Conference last year, 13-4.
Yes.
For the AFC North competitors of the Ravens, Chiefs did them a favor. Already made them 0-1.
True.
So now, the Pittsburgh Steelers with Russell Wilson and their new linebacker, Patrick Queen, formerly of the Ravens, and their new offensive coordinator, they can go into Atlanta and be a game up on the Ravens. Your Cleveland Browns, folks, against this man's Dallas Cowboys with Tom Brady in the booth on Fox. Cleveland Browns could put their calling card on the table and say, we've got a championship defense. Deshaun Watson is going to be an elite quarterback again. We are going to be one game up on the Ravens. And then you've got the Cincinnati Bengals, who out of everybody, you know, I mean, that's a stout opponent the Cleveland Browns have. In their house, and the Steelers got to go to Atlanta. The Cincinnati Bengals have the New England Patriots coming to town, and despite Chris Brockman dressed like he's a trick-or-treater on Halloween and a Cam Newton gamer here in Kansas City, this is a winnable game for the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow is back healthy.
T.
Higgins, however, is not practicing today. He's got a hammy issue.
Zach Taylor called it a tweak.
A tweak. And then there's Ja'Marr Chase, who is practicing, but ready for a new contract. The question is he going to hold out if he doesn't get one? What is going on? Ja'Marr Chase was asked today, made available to the media, asked his confidence level in a deal getting done in time for the season.
I'm confident it'll get done. You know, I know my worth, and I'm sure they know my worth too. So, I mean, that's easy and simple.
You want to be in Cincinnati long term?
Yeah, I love Cincinnati. You know what I'm saying? I love the teammates here. I love the fans here. You know, it's just a beautiful place to be.
All right. So he's confident it'll get done. I'll tell you what. I don't think he'd be practicing if he wasn't confident something
right.
would get done.
Exactly.
He would just be holding in. He would just not be practicing in. He would be holding in.
Right.
The question then was posed of him whether it is true his contractual stance is he wants one penny more than his and Joe Burrow's collegiate teammate, the Pizzade Justin Jefferson.
A lot of rumors. Is it true that the reports that you want one penny more than Justin Jefferson?
If I want to beat Justin, I'm going to beat the shit out of Justin. Not by a penny, brother. So.
Wow.
You know, I mean, they're obviously friends, right?
Yeah. No, I know that.
Yeah. So,
what does that mean? Does that mean
he's not going to beat him by a penny? He's going to beat him by a significant.
Oh, that's
amount.
How you.
That's the way I would take it too, right?
Oh, okay.
How did you take it?
I just thought they were just having fun, and then maybe the one penny thing is just kind of a joke between the two of them.
Well, for Mike Brown's sake, I hope it's a joke.
Is the Velcro starting to peel?
I'm waiting to hear that ripping noise from Cincinnati, the Velcro wallet of Mike Brown opening up.
We're going to need Del Tufo to have that as a sound.
Del Tufo does have a Velcro.
Does he have a Velcro
wallet? No, we need him to have that as a sound for next week.
I thought he had a Velcro wallet.
Man. And then there's Dak, bro.
Why are you more upset about this than me?
Hold on. The bro at the end was just the best part about that statement.
So exasperating.
I am exasperated.
It is exasperating.
Why? I'm okay with it.
You keep talking about how Dak Prescott is the runner-up to Lamar Jackson in last year's MVP race. We just saw what Lamar just did last night, okay? And in terms of his value to the Ravens, it's clear. So you've got a guy who does everything right. Everything right. His on-the-field play was something else. And I always thought, even with this whole all-in business, meaning nothing like the all-in that anybody who plays no-limit poker considers all-in, okay?
Or an AEW wrestler.
I honestly thought the all-in meant we will supplement our already terrific team with some extra help to make sure we're going all-in for this season. And instead, it's no, we're going all-in with just the guys that we have, all right? And even then, I thought there would be at least two of the three guys in Dak, CeeDee, and Micah Parsons that would be exempt from this. I didn't include the coach in being exempt from it and being given more contractual security beyond this season. And sure enough, we're 48 hours away from the season kicking off for the Cowboys, and only one of the three has been given a long-term contract, and Micah's not even expecting one. And it's Dak that we are sitting here still wondering if it's going to happen. And I cannot believe that they're going to get on a plane to Ohio with this guy getting on thinking, I don't know if this is my last season in Dallas or not, and how that's helpful in any iota, way, shape, and form for the quarterback, for the coach who doesn't have a contract, and for the rest of the locker room wondering, is this how we're doing this guy? I cannot believe we are in that position as we're sitting here in Kansas City at the end of our first hour of our third day here, the day after the season kicks off. I still don't understand it. And they may be close. They may be at the one-inch line. But it's not done until it's done.
Yeah.
And this thing may not age well. I mean, this thing could be done in 5 minutes. It could be done in an hour. It could be done in 2 days. But if it is not done, what are you doing? Because the guy, you can't franchise tag him. Yeah. I mean, you could, but it would cost a gajillion dollars.
Yeah, 80-something million dollars.
Okay. You can't trade him because...
That's going to cost.
Well, I mean, I believe he's got a no-trade clause. And plus, you're not going to trade him in the middle of the season anyway. I mean, that's not happening.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to go into the season, and if you don't sign him next year, he counts $40 million on your cap dead.
That's
I don't understand it. Yeah. And then if you don't sign him, it's possible you let Purdy beat you to the window. So the amount of money that you're talking about with Dak goes even more up. I don't understand it.
None of us understand it.
Makes no sense.
Well, this morning on 105.3, Jerry said he's done talking about it. He's done. Mike McCarthy, Dak, I'm not talking about it anymore.
Well, I mean, it's similar to like Mike Gundy saying, I told my players, don't have your agents call me anymore. It's time to play football.
Yeah.
So Jerry's done talking about it. I don't know if Steven's done talking with Dak's agent, Todd France, about
it. Not.
Bottom line is, we got a game to play in 2 days. That's where the players.
And the question is you going to go into that game with your quarterback unsigned for next year or not?
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt, movie director James Mangold.
I'd want to turn Bob Dylan to a simple character with a simple thing to unlock that then makes you go, ah, now I get him. First time I sat down with him, he said, what's this movie about, Jim? It's about a guy who's choking to death in Minnesota and reinvents himself in a brand new place, becomes phenomenally successful, starts to choke to death again, and runs away. And he smiled. He was like, I like that.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.